Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we come to you, and we have started another book for our exposition, the book of Galatians. This amazing book which deals with the sufficiency of one who died and rose again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ. And in these first ten verses, we have the Apostle Paul declaring his authority as an apostle and the message which he brings to men and women. Again, may I remind you that these Galatian Christians had been troubled because of legalists who had come from Jerusalem to lead them astray from the liberty which they had in Christ. And when they were turned away from Christ, they lost their joy, and they lost their blessing, and they lost their power. And Paul writes them, and he, as I said, he's greatly concerned about this church, more concerned about the Galatian church than any other church to which he wrote. In fact, it is the only one he wrote with his own hand. They were moved away from Christ. They had been bewitched by legalists who had come, declaring that they must be circumcised, that they must keep certain days, feast days and fast days and Sabbaths, that they must keep the law of Moses and so forth and so on. And he insists in the first five verses that his apostleship was from a risen Christ. It was a risen Christ who met him on the road to Damascus. It was a risen Christ who had given him the message of the grace of God and the revelation of the church. It was a risen Christ to whom he had been joined, and that his apostleship was from this risen Christ. Hence his authority on what he wrote was from a risen Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. And of course, this is the ultimate purpose of all the gospel preaching, is that we might be to the glory of God. You remember in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, verses 6, 12, and 14, that we might be to the praise of his glory. The ultimate purpose of all redemption, the ultimate purpose of the salvation of sinners and the transformation of lives, is the glory of God. Remember that, will you, please? And now, the theme that Paul brings up is in verses 6 to 10, and his theme is the gospel of the grace of God. I read from verse 6, and mark the strong language here. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should no longer be the servant of Christ. Let me just stop here now. Here you have the theme of his gospel. Notice verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now the gospel of the grace of God is concerning a person. And when one turns from the person of Christ, that one always turns to confidence in the flesh. We have been called by a risen Christ into the grace of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. You remember Ephesians chapter 2, 7 to 9, which says that in the ages to come he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us by Christ Jesus. Now, this is the future. It's the purpose of God. In the ages to come, he is going to show forth the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us by Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Romans chapter 4, verse 5, I read, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, His faith is counted for righteousness. And in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 5, we read, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." Now remember, we're called into the grace of Christ. And you take away justification by faith, and all Christian doctrine is lost. For when one turns from Christ, the sufficiency of Christ, then you must turn to the confidence in the flesh. And remember that God only recognizes one righteousness, and that's God's righteousness. And the gospel of Jesus Christ stands and recognizes only one righteousness, and that is Christ's righteousness. And you cannot unite the religion of the flesh with that of the Spirit. May I repeat that? The impossibility of uniting the religion of the flesh. And by the way, the religion of the flesh is to find favor with God by what you do. That's natural man's religion. As Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the way thereof are the ways of death." Now, the gospel only stands for one righteousness. God's righteousness. That's Christ's righteousness. Take Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Paul says, "I'm going to be found in him, in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God by faith, even the righteousness of Christ." In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, do you remember it? Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, whether Jew or Gentile. For therein, in this gospel, is revealed the righteousness of God, and as it is written, the just shall live by faith." In Romans chapter 10, verse 4, "Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth." Now, the preceding verse of that passage says that the Jews, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, if you've got righteousness of your own, that's legal righteousness. Supposing you did keep the whole law of Moses, you wouldn't have Christ's righteousness. Did you hear what I said? Supposing you could keep the whole law of Moses, you still would not have Christ's righteousness. You just have your own legal righteousness. We had that in Romans chapter 10, the contrast between legal righteousness and the righteousness of Christ. But what I'm trying to get to your heart is this. You cannot have the religion of the flesh united to that of the Spirit. The gospel stands for and recognizes only one righteousness, and that's Christ's. And you cannot unite the religion of the flesh with that of the Spirit. Oh, I wish in some way I could put that in a way you could understand me. Listen, friend, when you turn from Christ, that's what they had. "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him." You turn from a person to a system. You turn from the grace of God to law. You turn from Christ to Moses. You turn from Christ's work on the cross to your own works. You see, you're turned away from him. Oh, to get this into the hearts of people, that when you're trusting your own self-righteousness, you're turning your back on Christ himself. You're removed from him who called you by his grace, who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. No wonder Paul marveled in verse 6, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from Christ." Listen, friend, legalism denies the complete fall of man. Legalism says that there's some good in man that can appeal to God. Legalism denies the complete fall of man. Likewise, legalism denies the complete work of Christ. Christ's work is not sufficient. So I've got to add to what Christ has done. And notice that these people did not deny the gospel, they perverted the gospel. Whenever you add something to the work of Christ, you pervert and you ruin the gospel of the grace of God. That's what he says in the very next verse, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And in verse 9, and we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have declared, let him be accursed. I say these people did not deny the gospel, that Christ died for them, but they perverted it. They wanted to add to the work of Christ by the keeping of the law of Moses, by some ceremonies, instead of the simple, precious, complete work of Christ. And I want to say this, and I'm repeating it, they were removed from a person. They left the Son of God with all his perfection and the sufficiency of his work. They got their eyes on themselves and trusted themselves. And legalism denies the complete fall of man. And it denies the complete work of Christ. I go all the way in the fall of man. I'll go all the way in the sufficiency of the work of Christ for sinners. Now, friend, this is where we are. What gospel do you believe? Whom are you trusting? Is Christ your only Savior, or is it Christ plus yourself? And if it's Christ plus yourself, my friend, then you're perverting the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul uses some very strong language there. And I just trust that today you might come into real fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is sufficient for time and for eternity. And the Lord bless you today for his name's sake.